Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And I'm going to look this morning and this evening. So this is a to be continued, okay? And that means you need to come back this evening to get the second half. But it's important, and we're looking today at the importance of the heart. The importance of the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says this, "The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And it is God can see right down to the heart. We need to understand that when the Bible talks about the heart, it's typically not talking about the organ that is in there pumping blood through our body. But the Bible refers to different body parts. It talks about the reins. When the Bible talks about the reins are talking about kidneys. So you think of that when you read that. Kidneys are a filter, they're a cleaner, a cleanser. And so when you look at that, understand there's a job that they do, and that job has a lot to do with what the Bible is talking about in the passage. The heart is the part of the body. If it stops, you're done. You can't live without it. It is one of the most important organs that we have. And so when we look at the Word of God and we understand when it's talking about the heart, it's talking about the very center of the soul. Often the heart and the mind are used replaceably with each other or as a synonym to each other, but it's that center where you're making decisions, where everything is going on. It's very much who you are. And so the heart is very important. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Father, God, we're going to look to the Word of God today. We're going to see much Scripture. And this Scripture is going to show us the importance of the heart. It is going to show us that heart is the place where we're going to make every decision. It's going to control who we are, what we do, everything that we do. God, we're going to understand from your word that if the heart is not right, nothing else will be right. So God, I pray that you would help us as we look through your word today, God, to take care of our heart, and God, that you would guide us in it, and that you would speak to us. Father, I'm sure in a crowd this size, there may be a heart or two that's backslidden, needs to get back on track. God, there will be hearts that will be tempted in the near future. And God, there has to be some purpose to living for you, and that takes place in the heart. So God, I pray that you would help me to preach. God, I ask that your word would go forth. I pray that you would please just work in hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 16, 7 talks about God looking on the heart. Man cannot ever see the heart. Man can see reflections of the heart. When man looks at, when a person decides and demonstrates who they are in their fruit, you see that's coming out of the heart, because it all comes out of the heart. But God sees to the very center of a person. You cannot hide anything that takes place in your heart, in your mind. You cannot hide that from God. God can see right through it. You may be able to fool people, but you cannot fool God. You know that God knows every single person who is saved, and God knows every single person who is lost. And it is vital to understand. You may be able to put on a picture to people, and you may, I'm saved, and you may have no relationship with God. You may have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You just want to appear. I cannot understand that, because it is a matter of your eternal soul. There is nothing more important than knowing that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus is your Savior, that you will be before God one day, reconciled to Him. You escape hell and get to heaven. Look how important that is. I'll tell you, the idea of I want people to think that I'm saved, there's no place in Christianity for that. Because God sees right through to the heart, and God knows whether you've ever been saved or not. So I would urge you, if you're here and you haven't been saved, that you would look at that and say, boy, I need to make sure of that, and I need to make sure of it today. I need to understand that there is no question in my mind, in my heart, whether I am saved or not. If you question that, talk to somebody. We'll have an invitation at the end of the service. You'll have an opportunity to speak to someone and just get that settled once for all, because it is simply faith in Jesus Christ. There's no sense in thinking about just appearances, because God sees through it all. God sees the heart. I'm going to read multiple verses, and you don't need to try to keep up with these verses. We will turn next to Matthew chapter 5, but I'm going to read some verses in between. The Bible says this concerning the heart, and it shows the importance of the heart and that God looks at the heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So, look, sometimes, let me ask you this. Sometimes, can your heart deceive even you? Absolutely. There have been times where you may have thought that you did something out of a pure heart, and you looked back on it later and says, you know what, that really wasn't out of a pure heart. My motive was wrong. But at the time, you thought you were doing it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The question is asked, who can know it? The answer is given. The Lord knows. God knows the heart. And so if you're conflicted about something that's taking place in your heart, or maybe there's something taking your place in your heart, and you're thinking, boy, I think this is the right thing to do, what you have to do with those decisions is put them up against the Word of God, because God will never lead you against His Word. And if your heart is saying, boy, I think I need to do this, and you read a passage of Scripture and it says, don't do that, guess who's wrong? Your heart is wrong, and you need God to reveal that your heart is wrong. God sees your heart. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 12, the first part of the verse says this, "But O Lord of hosts, thou triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart." What, the reins? Purity. The heart, the decision-making center. God sees it all. God knows you from the inside out. People know you from the outside in. God knows you from the inside out. Psalm 66:18 says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now think about that. Do we see the importance of the heart? And you know what? You can pray, and everybody around you may look at it and say, wow, boy, I love listening to that person pray. They just really seem like they're talking to God. God knows the heart. And if we've got iniquity in our heart, God's saying, you need to get that taken care of. I'm putting that prayer on hold for the time being. Till that sin's gone, till that confession is made, till that's taken care of. Boy, we need to keep short accounts with God. We need to make sure that we're confessing our sin to Him. It's important that we are, when we come to pray, that we don't have unconfessed sin in our heart. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So what do we see here? If you've got a pure heart, there's some fruit of that heart. That fruit is peace, charity, faith, righteousness. What it's not is youthful lust. You know, see this world, oh, just follow your heart. And I'm here today say, don't follow your heart, follow God. Get your heart in tune with God. And once your heart is in tune with God and God's word, then you could almost safely say, follow your heart. But I guarantee you, if your heart is ever out of sorts with this, follow the book. I can't trust my heart. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But I can trust the word of God. God's thrice holy. God never makes a wrong decision. God is always going to lead us in the right path. His word will always be a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. God will always send us down the right direction. Our heart will not do that for us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. God knows what's going on, and Jesus here, he emphasizes not just the commandments, but he emphasizes what's taking place in the heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22 say this, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." There it is, one of the commandments. That is probably one of the commandments that I would hope that everyone here has not actually broken that one. Anybody here killed anybody? No, I'm just... Please don't tell me if... Okay, but you look at it, and it says, thou shalt not kill. Jesus says, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So he says, look, I am not just interested in the fact that you haven't killed someone. Have you hated someone? Have you been so angry with someone that you wished they were dead? Have you wished evil on someone? Have you seen someone walk off? Say, I hope I never see that person again. See, we have to consider what's going on in our heart. Because we can stand here, all of us here today, we can stand here, well, I've never killed anyone. And we can pat ourselves on the back. But God knows what has taken place in the recesses of our heart. He goes on in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. And he compares this to another commandment. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay. And many people here may be able to say, look, I have never committed adultery. I have not been in fornication. I was pure when I went to the marriage altar and so on. And you can say, well, you know, I've got that one down. And Jesus goes on to say this, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And all of a sudden we're like, whoa. Because God sees the heart. And you can look and say, well, I've never committed adultery. Have you looked on a woman with lust in your heart? See, God knows that took place. And you're guilty of breaking the commandment. Yes, not physically, but spiritually and in the mind. And we are in a society right now that preys on that mind. Advertisements prey, P-R-E-Y. On the mind of men. Billboards. You know, oh, here's a new car. They got to put a woman next to it. Why? Because they know the tendency of man is to glance, to look. And they draw people in with that. It's everywhere. And Jesus sees the heart. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. See, the Israelites would go by, oh, you know, these heathen, they're the uncircumcision. We're the circumcision. And we're better than they are. God says, no, I see the heart. You may physically have everything in order, but I see the heart. He repeats an idea like this in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 26, Egypt. and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Now, look, you can look at it and say, boy, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Egyptians, oh yeah. And what's happening is Israel physically, because they physically have something in order that God told them to do, they're looking, oh, these heathen over there and these heathen over there, they're looking down their nose on all of them, and God says, I see your heart. You're no different than they are. Yeah, physically you may have something in order, but I know it's not in the heart. I know you're just doing that because you had to. You didn't have a choice. It took place when you were 8 days old. But you're still uncircumcised in your heart. So the importance of the heart is this. First, God looks at the heart. That's the importance of the heart. Because God can see all the way to it. We can't hide it from God. So do you think today that it is important that our heart is right with God? Or do you think that it's important just that we have a show for everybody else to think that we're right with God? No, it's important that God knows that we're right with Him and walking with Him. What people think ultimately doesn't matter. What we are before God is in the heart. Secondly, the Bible teaches that you are what your heart is. You are what your heart is. You turn to Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to read Proverbs 23, verse 7, before we get to Luke chapter 6. It says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Do you want to know who you are? What do you think about? I'm not an adulterer. What do you think about? I'm not a fornicator. What do you think about? I'm not a thief. What do you think about? I'm not a killer. What do you think about? I'm not a God robber. What do you think about? What is your mentality? See, the Bible gets down to the heart of the matter and says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It's not what people think about you. That does not define who you are. It defines who you are in your heart. Do you have anger in your heart? You're an angry person. Well, I don't let it show up on the outside. Okay, so you're a controlled angry person. But if it's in your heart, you're an angry person. Do you have rebellion in your heart? Then you're a rebellious person. And you can look at it and say, well, you know, I know that my dad is bigger than me and stronger than me, and so I have to stay in line. But as soon as I get out of the house, do you know what you are? You're a rebellious person. Just because somebody else can't see it, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So whatever's going on in your heart, that's who you are. So it is absolutely vital that we get the heart taken care of, isn't it? Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." Now here, we're beginning to see that from the heart it comes out, right? "And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is," what? "Evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Now look at verse 46. As he illustrates it, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So he's saying, look, from a good man's heart comes forth what? Good fruit. You recognize it by what comes out. What's in the heart eventually comes out. Look, you watch people, and people that tell crude jokes, guess what's in the heart? Crudeness. It's just there. People that laugh at crude jokes, it's in the heart. It's what's there. It's going to come out. And we need to understand that what's there is going to come out. If a person has envy in their heart, guess what's going to show up? Envy toward the person they're envious about. Or jealousy toward the person they're jealous about. See, it starts in the heart. God says here very specifically, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. If a cuss word slips out of your mouth, where was it first? In the heart. Do you know what? If it wasn't ever in the heart, it wouldn't come out. If anger and frustration are in the heart, what's going to come out? Now, to some level, we live in this struggle to keep the heart right, don't we? And we need to be praying, because is there any man's heart who is truly good until Jesus gets a hold of it? No man's. So are the sins of the world, are they in our hearts until Jesus takes care of it? Yeah, they're there. And we need to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can help us to get victory over the heart before it comes out. That's what we need. But truly what we need is God to transform our life. And when we get saved, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What that is, it's a transformation of the heart that takes place when a person gets saved and the Holy Spirit comes and moves in. But how many times in the writings of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians, Colossians, and these different, well, all the way into Titus, it says, put away that, and put on that. Why? Because the struggle is still there. Yes, we've been transformed. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit when we get saved. But does the battle end? It does not end. And he says in verse 46, he's illustrating that people can say the right thing and still have a wrong heart. People can dress the right way and still have a wrong heart. People can act the right way and still have a wrong heart. A person could be in church because it's expected of them, and they just plain don't want to be here. That's no way to live, because God sees through it all, doesn't he? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Number three, the beginning of sin is always in the heart. It takes place in the heart. 2 Chronicles 12:14 says this. If you will go to Proverbs, we'll be going to Proverbs, and we'll follow through several verses in Proverbs. But 2 Chronicles 12:14 talks about Rehoboam, and it says this, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now, why did he do evil? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So if he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, would he have done evil? No. He wasn't worried about the heart. See, when we look at this, and we titled this morning, The Importance of the Heart, we understand the importance of the heart because God looks at the heart. We understand it because it is truly who you are, but we also understand the importance of the heart because that's where sin begins. And if you don't want to sin, then it needs to be stopped where? In the heart. It needs to be stopped before it ever gets out. Because there's plenty of it there, isn't there? And so we need a prepared heart. A heart prepared to follow the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. I want you to notice some things about sins. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 25. Says this, it's talking about a strange woman. This is a harlot or someone that comes along with that mentality. And the Bible says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty where? In thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Satan's out to destroy. You know, there's always danger of this. I've been married for 30 years. Our 30th anniversary is tomorrow. Does that make me safe? No. There's always danger. Somebody comes along. Boy, they got themselves all decked out. They know just how to turn it all on. And he says, whoa, 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 whoa. Lust not after her beauty in your, where? Heart. It takes place in the heart. You young people that aren't married yet, you're going to come along, meet somebody, they're going to smile. They're going to portray themselves as just everything that you want. You had better be very careful. I recommend, talk to your mom and dad. Hey, mom, dad, what do you think about this person? Mom and dad, what are the pros and cons? What do you see in their life? Get the person, the prospective person, get them in front of and around your parents. Because your parents can look at it. Man, you're looking with this fluttering going on. Love is what, they say? Blind. Get them around your parents. Parents, you need to say, hey, you know what? This character trait, this character trait, this character trait. Look, mom and dad, do you want the best for your kids? Mom and dad need to be watching out. Need to be making sure that people are not just putting on a show. Proverbs 7:25 says, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. Here again, it's talking about the same kind of woman. What happens is, what, you can walk down the street, you can see that kind of woman, I want nothing to do with that. But if you take another glance and another glance and something begins to take place here in the heart, well, you're danger. You're in dangerous, dangerous ground at that time. And so God says, well, we've got the heart. The heart has to be protected. The heart has to be taken care of. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14 says, the backslider in what? In heart shall be filled with what? His own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Boy, put that with that verse that we read in Luke. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But the backslider in heart is going to be filled with what? His own ways. What begins to happen when the heart backslides? They begin to think about themselves rather than God. They begin to think about the temporal, the things here on this earth, rather than the eternal, the things that are with God. They begin to think more about the podcast that they're listening to than the Word of God that is preached to them. They begin to completely get off center, and what happens is they're backslidden, and so their life is going to be filled with what they think. Whereas the person walking in the fruit of the Spirit is going to be filled with what? The Word of God, what God thinks. When a person's thinking is wrong, you can tell often whether a person is backslidden or not by, do they simply agree with the Word of God, or are they following their own way and their own path? When someone says, you know, well, I know what the Bible says, but I just don't think, that person is backslidden in their heart. They're backslidden in their heart. Why? Because they don't agree with God. And it took place in the heart. And so God warns us, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What does that show how important the heart is? Well, look, let me ask, do you really want to be filled with your own ways? Do you want to marry the person God wants you to marry, or do you want to marry the person you want to marry? And I should say the type of person. I'm not of the persuasion that God has one person chosen out for you, and if you fail to find that one person on the entire planet, the way you completely missed it. God has a person that is the type of person that you ought to marry. If you miss that, what happens? If you go your own way, what happens? You're probably not going to make a very wise choice. You need God's way. And so we look at all of these things. We cannot afford to be backslidden in our heart. We can never afford it. Young people, for sure, you cannot afford it. You're going to make a decision what job, what profession, what you're going to do. Boy, you better be seeking God and following God. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety, but those counselors had better be pointing you back to Scripture, back to the Word of God. Because we can't afford to be filled with our own ways. Matthew chapter 15. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 15. First book of the New Testament. And verse 18 and 19. Says this, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the what? Heart. And they defile a man. I hate you! Where'd that come from? The heart. What kind of heart did that come from? A backslidden heart. How did those words come out? Well, it was first in there. Now, how many of us have said things that we wished we hadn't said? Now, truly, think about this. Can you say, I said that, but I really didn't mean to say it? That's very questionable, isn't it? We could look at it and say, I wish I hadn't said it. I shouldn't have said it. But probably if we did say it, we meant to say it. Do we wish we could take it back? A lot of times, yes. Can you take it back? No, all you can do is apologize, ask forgiveness, and go on. But what do you need to do? Get the heart right. Because it came from somewhere. If it came out, you watch yourself. Watch your speech. Watch your language. Watch the things that amuse you. Watch. Because those things are going to be telltale signs where the heart is. He goes on and says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Where'd it come from? The heart. Look, some pure-hearted, good, godly person isn't walking into a store and, oh, I'm going to steal this. It doesn't work like that. If you walk into a store and steal something, it's because in your heart you're a thief. And so we recognize, and we need to recognize, the heart is so absolutely, vitally important. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5. I'm going to move quickly to get where I need to be to pick up tonight. But 2 Samuel chapter 11, 1 through 5, there's something going on here. In 2 Samuel 11, you have the sweet psalmist of Israel. You have the man who was described as being after God's own heart. And yet you find him in a backslidden state. And here's what takes place. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Is David walking with God, or is he backslidden? He's backslidden. So what do we know from Proverbs is going to happen? Is David going to be filled with God's ways or his own ways? His own ways. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. So he saw. Has David at this moment yet done something wrong? Now, he's walking on the roof. He's done wrong in the fact he's not where he's supposed to be. But he's walking on the roof. Oh, you know, can't look at that. But no, a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to what? To look upon. What just happened? He went from seeing to looking. Why'd that happen? He was backslidden. His heart was backslidden. And so now he's going to be filled with his own ways. Do you think his own ways are going to stop there? And David sent and inquired after the woman. See, now he's actively pursuing what has already taken place in his backslidden heart. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the what? Wife of Uriah the Hittite. This woman is married. As it was, David already had multiple wives. He was wrong in that area. It was God's plan for him to have one wife. He should have stuck with one wife. But he had multiple wives. In the event that this person, he as the king, could say, well, I'm going to have another wife, but this woman's already married. If it should have stopped right then. But his heart is backslidden, and so he's going to be filled with his own ways. It all of a sudden doesn't matter that she's already married. He's backslidden. And David sent messengers, verse 4, and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. David goes on to hide the sin, to kill her husband, or have him killed. Trying to cover the sin. All of that, what you're going to see in the next chapters, we aren't going to look at it, but the next chapters, you're going to see David filled with his own ways. When you see a person that's just filled with their own ways, you can automatically recognize a backslidden person. Acts 5:3 says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. What do we know about Ananias? Ananias was backslidden. Was Ananias going to church? Yes. Did Ananias have at least somewhat of a thought of, I want to give something to God? Yeah. But you know what? Ananias suffered from pride. He wanted to look good. And his heart was filled with pride. And that came out and was demonstrated in his actions. When Peter addressed him, did he address Ananias and say, Ananias, where's the rest of the money? Ananias, you're a thief and a robber. And what did Peter address? The heart. The problem was in the heart. And he said, look, you conceived this thing in your heart. It's interesting. That's what he addressed. I think so many times we look at and try to address the characteristic that came from the heart rather than addressing the heart. Do you have marriage problems? Look, the problems come from where? The heart. Is a young person out living in sin? Look, you can address the sin, but until the heart changes, the sin's not going to change. And what happens so often is people, they look at it and say, I just want someone to accept my sin. And unfortunately, in Christianity today, they'll find it. But what is never dealt with is the heart. Repentance comes from where? The heart. And so when we look at this morning, we're looking at the fact that God sees the heart. You are what your heart is. And the beginning of sin is in the heart. So is the heart important? Absolutely. Now, tonight, we're going to look at two more points and more on the idea of dealing with the heart, okay? Because we see the importance of the heart, but now we've got to, how do we take care of it? How do we take care of it? Ultimately, that's what we need, is to get it taken care of. I hope that you'll be here tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we come to the invitation, God, your word addresses the heart. It addresses all of these issues of the heart. God, I pray that we would recognize this morning that we're not fooling you. God, I pray that we would see ourselves this morning for who we are, and if need be, ask you to change us. And God, that we would look at the fact that when we sin, it's not so much the sin that's the problem, it's the heart that produced it. So God, I pray today that you would help us not to be backslidden in heart, but Father, to have a changed, transformed heart. And God, that comes from daily walking with you, abiding with you. God, help us to have good, right hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays this morning, maybe you've got something to come and pray about this morning. How's your heart?